The title of part two is called How to Capitalize on the Impulse Buy Without Ever Asking for It. Jeff hated asking prospects if they wanted to get started on their expensive laser treatments right away. Although he knew he needed to ask the questions in order to capitalize on the impulse buy, he just couldn't get himself to do it. Fortunately, he stumbled upon a way around his fears. He found that if prospects thought they were locking in a price, they wanted to jump on the treatments right away, without Jeff ever needing to ask them a thing. In fact, Jeff says he closes 75% of his prospects on the same day as their free consultations. And in part two, you'll hear all about it. You'll also hear how Jeff landed his first consulting clients. You'll learn why Jeff never charges for a consultation and believes you shouldn't either. Why Jeff never charges for a consultation and why he believes you shouldn't either. You'll learn how he qualifies prospects over the phone quickly and effectively. You'll learn why Jeff believes clients should always pay as they go instead of doing any package deal pricing. You'll learn the deal Jeff made with the doctors that allowed them to test drive his product while paying him half of their earnings while they did it. You'll learn how he convinces doctors that they need a marketing coordinator if they want to have any kind of success with a laser treatment center. Because Jeff studied the fundamentals of marketing, he knows he's not really selling laser or laser treatments. He's selling opportunities. That's why his marketing techniques have helped to grow medical centers all over. And in this audio, you'll hear exactly how he's applied these fundamentals in the medical field and how you can possibly do it too. Now let's get ready. Enjoy the interview. Okay, you're operating your own laser institute in New England. Successfully, you found a formula that worked, advertising on a rock radio station in that more blue-collar Boston Herald newspaper. You were rocking and rolling with that.
Very well, and again, attributed totally to the ability to market, my ability to understand marketing, understand the principles that were taught to me, and apply them. So every year we were growing. In 1996, we did $1 million worth of business. And that is significant because that's before hair removal. Like I say, hair removal expanded the business. Prior to that, we did $1 million worth of business.
Oh, so you got into the hair removal too.
Of course. We were the premier laser center. Anything that came out, we had. We had every laser available. We were specialists. The average person that had the laser, they'd have it in their office as part of their medical practice. We were a working laser center. Now, I think I told you, we were approached by people to open up additional laser centers, and investors were coming in, dangling big dollars in front of us. And they said, okay, you're going to have to open up another one to prove the concept to us. So I went down to the state south of us, which is Rhode Island, where I'm born, and I know the area very well, and I opened up another laser center in Rhode Island. So this is my third that I've now opened. This was, again, from scratch. I actually did the build-out. I did everything, and I was working 3 days a week in Rhode Island, and I was working 3 days a week in Boston. I used to tell people I work half days. I worked 9 to 9 every single day. I was never home. My off day was Sunday. I would go to church, come home, cut the grass, and fall asleep. I never saw my kid. You know, they were young girls, you know, grade school girls. If I was home for supper, they would applaud. I got to this point in my life where working that kind of time and everything, I had to make a big decision in life. And I wasn't really happy about these investor people that were coming in and what they were making us do. And all of a sudden, myself and my partner, we had attorneys and we had accountants, and they were sucking all of our money out, putting together this business plan of rolling out all these laser centers. And I just decided I had had it. I had 8 years in. I understood marketing. I understood how to do it. Because I had made every mistake you could ever make, I decided I was going to open up my own consulting business. This is in 1998, because now hair removal lasers came out and the industry exploded. There were all these people buying lasers, and I knew they were going to be in the same place I was back in 1990.
Floundering.
Yeah, they were going to buy a very expensive piece of equipment and think they were going to be successful. They didn't know anything about marketing, which meant they were going to make all the mistakes I already made. So I said I could open up a consulting business and help people by showing them or helping them not to make those mistakes and teaching them marketing the Jay Abraham way. And that's what I did. I opened up my consulting company.
What did you call it?
Laser Business Development Company.
Okay, so you got out of the mess with
day-to-day running and operations of laser centers, and I opened up a one-man consulting company and started working out of my house, and now all of a sudden my daughters saw me every day.
How old were they then?
In 1998. 11 and 16.
Wow, that must have been a big change, huh?
It was a huge change, but I was home. Well, I actually ended up traveling all over the place, but I was home, and I controlled everything myself.
Yeah, but do you think missing your daughters was one of the big things?
It was the thing.
You're like, what the hell am I doing?
That's right. Yeah, the stories, and it's true. They're only going to be 10 and 11 once. It's not going to happen again, and I knew what I was doing, and I had two other partners. I own 40% of the business, but I was doing all the work. The two doctors that I was partners with, they had their medical practices. They were working in their medical practices during the day. So I had to make a huge decision in life, and it really came from the fact that I was never seeing my family. So I decided to take a chance at what I had learned over those 8 years and turn it into a business. Seeing that this was going to be a service that many people really would need, because I knew what was going to happen to them was going to be the same thing to happen to me. So that's what I did.
All right, so how'd you start your practice? You had this knowledge. You were already an expert. How many laser centers were there in the United States at that time with hair removal?
Now companies were selling hundreds of lasers, you know.
Thousands all over the place?
Yeah.
How'd you get your first client? Is this when you went to Candela to produce the marketing plan?
Actually, the first year that I started my business, I wasn't sure how I was going to get my clients, so I went to another laser company that I knew very well, and I owned some of their products, and they had a CEO there that was open to ideas. And I went to him and I said, your salespeople are going out trying to sell lasers to people, and it's a big decision that people have to make. And people are afraid of making a financial mistake, so there's a lot of people that won't buy. They put off the buying decision. The sales cycle is a long one. A salesman doesn't walk in and sell a $100,000, $125,000 piece of equipment on a sales call. It takes a long time to bring them along and everything. So what I said to him is, what I think you should do is go to your salesman, the local sales guy, and find out people that he's called on that aren't buyers yet. And let's show me instead of tell me. What I said to him is, what I will do is you give me your laser. Give me one of your lasers. I will take it out to these customers, and I'll let them use it for the day. And what I'll help them do is market. I'll teach them how to do consults, because the consult's the key to the business, is what I found. Virtually everything that I learned about marketing, I learned from doing all the consults in 8 years. I did 10,000 consults for laser services.
Let's take 5 minutes and talk about the consult. So that's when someone calls. All right, so what's important about a consult?
Okay, nothing happens until you do the consult. So when you do a marketing or advertising piece, the purpose of the advertising piece is to get the reader or the listener to pick up the telephone, call, and schedule their consultation appointment. But you don't treat a person until you do a consult with them.
Right, so they've got to come in. Is a consult free?
Always, as far as I'm concerned.
Always free consult. Come on in. Let's see.
For me it is, but for some of my customers, they charge for it. It's a huge mistake.
I would agree.
I always did free consults because, to me, a consult is educational. All I'm doing is educating a person about what is a laser, how does it work, what does it do, what doesn't it do, what are the risks, what are the benefits, how many treatments are you going to need, why, what kind of equipment do we use, who's going to be doing it, everything you'd want to know. I did a half-hour consult with every single person.
And you had a system, you just did them over and over again, the same one.
Over and over. It was a script in my mind, and you have to be a certain kind of person to do that. It was funny because people used to laugh at me all the time, like, why do you take so long? You know what my conversion ratio was? 92% of people that came in went forward with us. People don't believe that, and I'll qualify it by saying this. Number one, we qualified them on the telephone for appropriateness of service, and we qualified them financially. I cannot do a half-hour consult with a person, and at the end they go, what, it isn't $50?
On that phone call, how would you qualify? What would you ask them?
I trained my people that answered the phones, and they were very good. All they had to do, the question that all people ask when they call up, they would always say, does it hurt, and how much does it cost? So I have to make sure that my telephone people can answer only those two questions. Does it hurt? What I would tell them is, what I like to do is compare one pain to another pain. So, for instance, if you were doing a consult for hair removal, you could be sure that the person has already plucked, they've already waxed, they've already done a number of things till they get to the point of laser. So what they would answer would be, the question is, it doesn't hurt as much as plucking and waxing does.
Perfect, yeah.
So that would answer the pain question. When they'd ask, what does it cost? What I did is, the average person coming in was probably going to be treated for a small area, usually for hair removal, say the face. So what I would say to them is, the average cost for laser hair removal is around $200. When you come in for your consult, you can show us the area you want treated. We'll give you your price. It'll be in writing with a guarantee. And that's how we would answer it, which meant that we financially qualified them that they would know that coming in, it was going to be at least $200.
And that was for one appointment?
One appointment.
With the hair removal, is that multiple appointments?
Multiple.
Do you let them know on the phone? Because I'm sure a lot of people don't know.
Yes, we would.
You say it could be multiple appointments.
It will be multiple appointments. Not it could be, it will be. It's impossible to treat hair in one treatment because you're treating hair that's in a growth phase, and all of your hair is never in a growth phase at the same time. There's only a percentage that are in a growth phase. This is the whole educational part. So the purpose of my marketing piece and advertising piece is to get a person to schedule the free consultation. When they come in, then now it's the educational part. You get to tell your story.
Did you script it out? Like, did you plan that out yourself, or is that...
Totally.
You did. You went over everything that you need to cover to answer every concern.
Created what's called a consultation checklist, mm-hmm. and I went through every subject that a person would cover on a good consultation, and I used to teach the staff how to do consults. Like I said, I did 10,000 of them. And everything that I really learned about marketing, I learned in the consult room, because what I would do is I'd listen to the language that a person would use. I would listen to their fears. I would listen to everything they said to me, which would give me all the words I would now need to use to put my marketing pieces together.
Do you have this scripted out for your training?
I have a checklist of each subject that you would go over. If I were to do a consult today, I would do the exact same consult I did 10 years ago.
So as long as they were qualified, you answered the pain and the cost, and they were qualified, they were in, you'd close 92% of them.
That's right. 92% of them. Now, that was my conversion ratio until all of a sudden I started doing laser hair removal.
But before we go there, would you do treatments on the consultation day?
Absolutely.
You want to get them going now?
Absolutely. Now, that's a great question, and it's another big area that a lot of people fall down on where they wouldn't. Now, we would always do treatments on the day of the consult, other than one service that we did, which was called skin resurfacing, where we used the CO2 laser, which basically, back in that day, was a controlled blowtorch. It just burned the skin right off your face. There's no way you could do that service on the day of a consult. It needed a lot of prep. It was a serious, serious procedure, very different from the vast majority of things we did. So that one, no. Everything else, we always offered the treatment on the day the person came in, always. Very, very important to do that because it's an impulse buy, number one. Number two, a person came a long way, they'd come in, be a half-hour consult. Once they heard everything that they wanted to hear, they wanted to get going. So I would always make sure that the ability was to get going. Now, my biggest problem was I couldn't close.
mm-hmm.
I could not close. I had a very hard time asking a person, do you want to do this today? That's a very tricky subject, and it's a very hard thing to do. And I had to come up with a method of doing that, of saying, do you want to get started today, without selling something to somebody.
And what worked for you best?
Well, every person that came in, I gave them the consultation form that I filled out for every single person. And on that form was basically their name, what they came in for, the average number of treatments that it was going to take, what we expected, what the cost per treatment was. Everything that they'd want to know was on that form. We would give the patient that form to take home with them so that it was very clear to them what the cost and number of treatments were. And we would also photocopy it and keep it in their medical records so that the front desk had a copy and everybody was on the same page. I do not want people coming in and saying, oh, I thought the $200 was for all the visits. No. So I used that form. Now, I came up with a sentence on the bottom of that form that changed my entire life.
Tell me.
I would have people sign this form. I would sign it, and they would sign it. Now, when I would ask them to sign it, I would notice that people would kind of tense up. And I would say to them, no, this form is just a form that just outlines what you and I spoke about today. And as a matter of fact, what it does is it obligates us to offer the price that we gave to you today for the next 30 days or 60 days, whatever I was using at the time. It could be like 60 days. So I would say to them, if we were to change our pricing in the future, you have this, we're going to give it to you at the price that we offer as of today. So at the bottom of the form, it basically would say that the price is guaranteed from any price increase for the next 60 days. So what I would say to them is, and this changed my entire life, this one phrase, I would say to them, you could be treated anywhere from today through the next 60 days, and you don't ever have to worry about a price increase. That's all I did, and at least 75%, if not more.
So you said, let's do it today.
People said, I could be treated today, and I would say, well, I'm sure we could probably fit you in. Let me go see, you know, the doctor.
Yeah.
We're treating other people. You will have to now fill out actual paperwork and consents and everything, so it's going to take a little bit of time, but let's make sure that we can get you in today. And in the most cases, we could. But just by saying that one sentence, you could be treated anywhere from today through the next 60 days.
And then they ask.
They would say to me, I couldn't be treated today because I couldn't bring myself to say to a person, do you want to be treated today?
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. Did that sentence, did that happen by accident, or did you?
By accident.
And then you just stuck with it.
And then as soon as I saw the reaction, and this is why it was so important for me as the director of the center and the director of marketing and business development to be doing the consults. I would never have learned any of these things if I wasn't with the people, speaking with them, and seeing how they reacted.
Look, you've been in a laboratory, 10,000 consults, come on.
Yep. And that's what I learned. I learned everything from listening to people and seeing how they reacted. And I knew that the vast majority of people, once they were comfortable with us, and they should be comfortable with us because we have the best technology available. We had all of it. And I had very good doctors. I mean, board-certified dermatologists and highly trained people. So we were not in a strip mall. We were the Laser Institute of New England or the Laser Center of Boston. So we knew what we were doing, and that was my job. My job was to educate people that, yes, we have the technology, we have the expertise, we have the people, we have reasonable pricing, and we offer convenient times for you.
All right, let me ask you this, and we're going to get back on track with our story, but this was critical. Okay, so they fill the paperwork out, and when they make a commitment, are they committing to all the appointments, and how does the money work?
What we offered is, I go back to J. Abraham 101, make it easy to do business with me and people will. That's my rule number one that I teach. And people think that sounds so simple. And I break the business down to every possible aspect of your business and say, am I making it easy for people to do business with me? So I didn't offer just one way. I like charging per treatment. You pay as you go. Even though it's going to take, let's say, 8 visits to remove your tattoo. Now, when I go out there and do my consulting with people, I have found many, many people, they charge package pricing, where they put together, okay, you're going to need 8 treatments, so we'll sell you a package of 8, and basically if you give them the payment for the 8, then you get a discount. And that's how people do the business. I don't like that business model at all. I really don't. And I'll always ask people, well, why are you doing that? And, you know, usually their answer is because I get a lot of money up front. I don't like that answer. Then coming from the finance background, I don't like getting money for a service we haven't provided yet. Not unless you have a very strong refund policy in place, in writing, that you give the patient. Also, I believe it breaks rule number one. I'm not making it easy to do business with people because my target, my average person that I'm dealing with, is the average everyday working person. It's a huge difference to make a decision between paying $1,600 and $200. I don't like giving a person a large number. I like giving them a much smaller number. I like offering the service a pay-as-you-go.
People respect it. They're in control, and you get more clients.
Of course. So to answer your question, I can't know for sure that every person is going to follow through with the entire treatment plan because things happen in life to people.
What percentage never went through?
It would go back to what service we were providing.
Let's say the tattoo removal. What did you find? Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think, like I said earlier, women would tend to go through with the entire process. Women were more motivated. They were doing it for a different reason than a man. A lot of guys would turn into no-shows every now and then because something came up. And so it was no big deal. They'll just come next week or, 2 weeks down the road. But they would come in because once you get started and all of a sudden you got half your tattoo there, it's a little strange. So most people would follow through with it. I'd say there's about 15% of the people that would drop out. And who knows for what reason. Maybe they would just cover it up with something else. I don't know. But every patient type, depending on the service we're providing, had a different rate of attrition.
Okay. All right, let's go back. You're now consulting on your own.
Yes. The first thing that I did when I started, because now I have to get customers and things, was to approach the laser company and say to the CEO that, there's a lot of customers out there that are not buyers yet. If I were to take your laser into them for a day and let them use it and let them get comfortable with it, let them see that the laser really does work and it really does what you say it does, and they could start treating patients, and I will charge them for the day. The way that I set it up was we would split the money. Whatever comes in, I get half, you keep half. And then I would pay the laser company a usage fee for their laser. But what I would help them do is I would help teach the doctor how to do consults, how to market, all the different things that I already know how to do. I would teach them how to build their business up. So now there's zero risk to the doctor. He's not making laser payments. He has a laser come in. He brings his people in. He gets to use the product and find out that it works. He gets to build the business up. Now, what ends up happening is, as soon as he starts paying me too much money, he becomes a buyer. If we get a $6,000 day, and he has to pay me $3,000, and his monthly leasing fee is $1,000 or $1,100, what does he need me for? So what I'm doing is constantly putting myself out of work. I'm building a person up to become a buyer, and this person was on the fence. So that's what I'm saying to the sales guy. Who are these people? They're not going to buy from you. They're not convinced yet this is a business.
All right, so what did the CEO say?
So he did it.
All right, so he turned over lots and lots of people?
No, he gave me...
Oh, he gave you the laser?
He gave me his lasers to bring out, and the sales guy would give me the names of the people. They'd build the relationship. Okay, this guy's going to come out and help you. I had to go out and get a van that, actually was able to carry the lasers and everything. That's how I started my business. I was going out and bringing lasers to people on a daily rental basis. They could rent the laser for the day, and we'd split the money. Then I would bring them up to the point of becoming a buyer. The laser company started selling more lasers.
Did you negotiate something if they bought a laser?
Yes, I did. I got a percentage from the salesman. Like, let's say the salesman got 7%, I'd get 2. But remember, I'm getting half of the money.
Yeah, you're getting the money on the day he's using it.
Right. So that's how I actually started my business, was just by doing that, just to get myself income, because now I really didn't have income. Then in the meanwhile, I'm developing my marketing materials and my program for teaching doctors marketing.
At that time, you're putting together your systems and your written information, the whole process from the ad to the time the phone rings, booking the consultation, doing the consultation.
Everything that I learned from Jay Abraham and that I learned personally from running the business, I was putting that together in written format. So now I've been doing this for about close to 2 years.
What year are we at now?
1998. Yeah, 98 and 99 I was doing that. And that particular laser company, the CEO there, he left and they had changes in people. And you could just see that it really wasn't going to continue the way that it had. Plus, I didn't like traveling all around with the laser and everything. Very time-consuming. The money was good, but it was very time-consuming. But I knew I could have a better business model. So I went back to Candela, which was, again, a company that I knew very well. They knew me very well. I owned a lot of their equipment. They knew I was successful. And they had a business director there who was a very sharp guy. And I went in for a meeting with him, and I asked him this question. I said, "What is it that you sell?" And, of course, they're a laser manufacturer, so, of course, he said, we sell lasers.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't think so. Now, just so you understand, the typical way that a company that sells a laser is they do seminars. They'll do a Saturday seminar. They'll send out all their leads to people, and they'll say, we're doing a full-day seminar. So everybody goes to the hotel. You'll have a doctor come in that works for the laser company, a luminary or whatever it may be, and he will give a speech on laser didactics. What is a laser? How does it work? What does it do? He'll show you all the before and afters. He'll teach you about the technology. That goes on all morning. Afternoon, they have a hands-on session where they'll actually have the lasers there. They'll have some sample patients, and you get to touch the laser and fire it and, you know, all of that. And that's where they get their leads from, and that the salespeople work those leads. Now, I used to be asked to speak at those all the time about marketing.
You knew how ineffective these things were.
So I go out to these. I go all over the place and be constantly going to these seminars and things.
Could they book these rooms pretty full?
They would do pretty well, you know, between, I'd say, 30 to 50 people at a seminar.
And the people were doctors?
Yes, doctors, thinking about getting into the business. So they're now going to go out and find out more about what's this opportunity and the whole thing and what are the lasers. And they'd hear all great things and see slides and sit there, you know, all morning and watch the stuff. And then they would have me do a marketing presentation, and they would give me 10 minutes.
That's it.
10 minutes. The key to the entire business. All of your success. And they'd give me 10 minutes. I did so many of these.
What did you do in 10 minutes?
I would just basically tell them that I had run 3 laser centers and give them some of my background and give them the numbers on how we doubled and doubled and doubled and we did $1 million worth of business. You could do this too. It didn't give me a real lot of time. But I would verify that there was, you know, at least a business opportunity here. So I'm sitting there with this business development manager there, and I said, when I asked him what business is in, he says, we sell lasers. And I said, well, I've been to all these seminars and things, and I see doctors are taking this Saturday. They worked hard all week, the day off. They're coming out to a hotel. They're sitting there all day. And do you really think that it's for the privilege of buying your laser that they're coming there? So my answer to him is, what you really are selling is a business opportunity. What a person is coming to you for is to buy a business, not a laser. I said to him, I have a marketing program that teaches people how to actually market their laser and make money. And what I think you should do as a company is give it to every single person that buys your laser. And he said, that's a great idea. And that's where the program came from. So the first program that I developed, I called it My Candela. And My Candela became a online marketing program where if a person bought a Candela laser, they were entitled to the My Candela program. They still gave them the marketing toolkit, but they were now receiving my information, all based on the teachings of J. Abraham and my personal experience. And I had my planning module. Now, my planning module addressed all the issues that a person would have during startup. So, you know, they buy the laser, they go onto the Candela website, and the way that it was set up is if you put the serial number of your laser in, you would get access to my marketing material. So it was given to you.
It was all digital?
Yes. And then Candela, of course, included other levels of my program, not just the free program, but there were now programs where I would come out and meet with you and go to your office for the day, and I had different levels of the program. It would be a 3-month program or a 6-month program where we would work 1 hour a week on the telephone, and I would work with the staff and things like that. That's how that program developed. And like I said, that was called My Candela.
Wow. Once they got behind you and started endorsing your My Candela program, what started happening?
Well, they sold more lasers. Because now the smart salesperson didn't walk in and say, buy my laser.
Did their business significantly increase?
Significantly. And a lot of times it became competitive where there were a number of companies going to the same person trying to sell them. And, of course, most of the sales guys would go in and they would be talking about the other person's part and saying, well, he has this pulse duration. They would be talking all about the laser. Now, the smartest sales guy would walk in and say, I am going to give you something to help you build your business. I'm going to help you be successful if you buy my laser because I'm going to give you a program that helps you be successful.
Yeah, you gave them what they really wanted.
What they really wanted. That was the question that I had asked the guy. What are they buying from you? They're not buying a laser. They're buying a business opportunity, but nobody's helping them run the business. So people would buy the laser, and then they wouldn't know what to do. This happened time and time and time again. Doctors tend not to be business people, and they're very busy seeing patients all day, so they don't have time. So that was the difference. So this, I believe, gave Candela a very big competitive advantage, and of course, eventually, it took a while, all the other companies eventually copied my program.
Oh, really?
Of course.
They just knocked it off?
They knocked it off. Well, we were the first.
And they were giving it out free?
Yeah, they were giving a form of what I was doing out free. I even included in my marketing program, I included a free website with my program. If you had learned my program, I'd give you a free website. Because back then, everybody didn't have one yet. So that was a big deal to us. The funny thing is, the website became very, very important to people.
Okay, so they were giving the thing away for free, but there was 3-month and 6-month programs. Would you make money on those?
Absolutely. Would make all my money. Because I was kind of coming in with the free program, and then there were a certain percentage of people, like if you were going to buy 2 lasers or 3 lasers, now we're talking significant money. So now the salesperson had a lot more latitude, and he would say, if you buy the 2 lasers, I'm going to have this guy come out and help you and work with you. He's going to come to your office and meet with you, and you're going to have telephone conferences set up, and the program will run for 3 months or 6 months or whatever it will be, and I'm going to include that.
Could you make 20 or 30 grand on one of those?
Not on one, not that kind of money. But I could make between $5,000 and $10,000, depending on the program.
All right, and you were pretty busy.
Very busy.
So that was brilliant. Did you ever go to anyone else besides Candela to do it?
Well, I've been doing the My Candela program for 6 years. Now, again, everybody now knocked it off, and most of the other companies were offering something similar. Candela had a number of changes, again, in management, just like every big company does. The newer people didn't really get it, in my estimation. They didn't understand the value of really what they had. And when you have a change in salespeople, there were certain salespeople that absolutely got it. The number one salesperson, actually, was in New England, of all places, selling lasers. Because you would think California and Florida and certain areas would sell many more lasers. The number one guy was in New England, and he's a very close friend of mine, but he told me all the time, he walks in, he doesn't sell the laser, he sells the business opportunity. Different salespeople would come and go, and it depended on how they approached it. So Candela, with a lot of changes and things, about a year ago or so, I had a contract with them that did not allow me to work with a person that did not own a Candela laser. I could only work with a person that owned that particular laser. So when my contract was up, I decided not to renew that contract because I could kind of see that there were just so many changes. And there was another laser company that I had been speaking with and knew, and they were interested in the program. So I was able to keep my relationship with Candela, which is fine. It's a great relationship. But without that contract, so they didn't owe me anything, you know, other than the business their salespeople gave. And I was able to go to a second company and offer them the same kind of a program. But I told them outright that I still do work with Candela, so I didn't sign exclusivity with them.
Okay, great. And how's that going?
That's going fine. Again, in startup, it's always kind of a process where there's a small amount of the sales guys that get it. And then the vast majority of people are still out there trying to sell features and benefits of the laser. But the ones that get it, and with the new company, there's 4 or 5 guys that I get 80% of my business from. And it's the same kind of thing. With that particular company, I have 3 levels of my program. With Candela, I have 4 levels of the program. And the basic program I'm giving, it's kind of like what you do, which, of course, I learned some of this from you. But you give away a lot of free material. And you know that there's going to be a lot of people using your free material, and eventually there's going to be a percentage of those people that become customers and buy something from you. It's the exact same thing that I do.
Yeah, that's true.
I give away a lot to people because once they see my stuff or they know me or they speak with me, they know I know what I'm talking about because I've been in the industry now 19 years. And it's very hard to find anybody in the laser industry 19 years. Today, you know, 5 years and you're a real veteran. And I come across from the point of view, I always tell people, I've made every mistake you can ever make. And I was spending a hospital's budget money. So you're spending your own money. You can't afford to make mistakes. So what I am is I'm protection. And what I ask people to do is when you're going to do a marketing piece or whatever, you send it to me. I look at it. And does it meet the rules of marketing? If it doesn't meet the rules, we don't do it. We change it. We tweak it. until it does, and then predictably we should do well.
Let me ask you this, just for the consultants. Tell the consultants, anyone listening to this, what would your life be like if you never approached Candela or a laser manufacturer for an alliance and you just went out hustling your consulting practice cold to doctors?
I would have been a failure. Doctors would never have trusted me. Doctors are probably the hardest group to market to. Doctors do not like spending money. Number one, it's just a plain fact. And I know I never would have lasted in this industry more than a year, year and a half, without the referral base that I have. I only work on a referral basis. I never go to a person and say, hire me because I can help you. Ever. I'm referred directly from somebody else to them as the person that can help them. And that made all the difference for me.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. That's a good answer. I just wanted to reiterate that. And that's what we teach to HMA consultants, you know, when they're working with clients to establish alliances, or when a consultant says, hey, I'm going to get on the phone and do some telemarketing to see if I can get some clients. I go, well, that may be fine in your worst case scenario, but if you're going to do telemarketing to set up alliances for someone to endorse you as a consultant.
Of course.
One deal. Look at that. How many doctors did Candela put you in front of from that one alliance?
Well, in 6 years of people going through the My Candela program, we're talking thousands. And then with the other company, too, it's now a few hundred. And then, again, when I started the business and doing the rentals, that was with another company, so there's hundreds over there. So thousands of people have been exposed to my materials.
You are positioned as the marketing guy in the laser market.
I believe so. There are other people out there that are doing it now, but most of them come from a marketing or advertising background. I don't know of anybody that actually comes from the point of view that they've actually owned and operated three laser centers.
Yeah, and that's big.
None of these people have ever actually bought a laser. I've bought 11. So there's a big difference. And also, the vast majority of people that I see teach institutional advertising. Mm-hmm. They teach branding to everybody, which just is the opposite of what I teach.
Your marketing stuff still works today like it worked back in the early 90s.
Absolutely. The fundamentals of marketing, which I learned again from Jay Abraham and many other people, but primarily Jay and his associates, the fundamentals go back to, what, the 1920s? None of that changes. I mean, certainly the way you reach people today, if I were running a laser center today, it wouldn't be just through the newspaper or radio. I mean, it wouldn't be that way today because obviously today with the internet, there's a whole other way of marketing. So what I always look out for is who's the best teachers that are out there? Who are the people that I would trust, that I want to learn from? Just like I did years ago when I first needed to learn marketing, I found Jay Abraham and his associates. And now today I look for the teachers for internet and search engines and all of that. And I have never stopped in 19 years learning everything that I can learn about marketing.
So you're still doing this today. Do you want to make changes? Are you happy doing what you're doing? What do you want to do?
Well, the last year, year and a half has been not easy because the companies are selling a very high ticket item and there's been a lot of fear in the marketplace, you know, recessionary fear. Certainly, I've seen my new customer base shrink, but I still have enough customers. There's not a problem there. I'm just looking more today at a way of automating everything that I do.
The My Candela, do you get the names and the emails of everyone who has access?
Yes.
Are you allowed to market to them?
Yes, because they're my customer.
They're your customer.
They became my customer, so if they signed up for My Candela, I have the names, I have their emails.
Oh, My Candela is all controlled by you, not by Candela.
Well, jointly controlled. They signed up on the Candela website, but they received my materials, and in a lot of cases, we were in contact with each other. And, of course, I maintained the database, like, of all the people that I was giving the free website to.
Who owns the URL My Candela? They do?
Yeah. Mine was My Laser Site is where they built it. And then I have a builder called MyCandelaWebsite.com.
Yeah, you sent me that?
Yeah, so a Candela customer that's going to build a website, if I'm going to give them a free website, they're going to go over to MyCandelaWebsite.com.
How often are you keeping in touch with these doctors through the My Candela program? Are you emailing them at all?
Well, the My Candela program now is really no longer.
Okay.
They're not giving that away free. Now I'm working with Alma Laser. And the ALMA laser group, those people are given to me every month. Mm. So the ALMA, that's the new company, they're doing the program very similar to the original MyCandela, and I keep in contact with them. I use Infusionsoft, and one of the things I've learned is I give people so much material, it's informational, so people don't really act on it. My biggest frustrations in life and one of my biggest problems that I had to learn is that I can't be responsible for somebody's success.
No, you can't.
Yeah, and we're talking of all the people that I meet, the vast majority of people that actually end up buying a very expensive piece of equipment that are successful, and by whatever measure that they measure success, it's only about 15%.
Really? Oh, well, these are always leased, right? Or no, they're bought out.
No, almost always leased, 5 years.
Oh, so Candela takes them back, or ALMA, they take them back, right?
Oh, no. Well, usually you go through the leasing company and you have a dollar buyout. That's how you do the lease.
Are there a lot of used lasers sitting out there?
There's a lot of people that became disillusioned, and now they want to sell their laser. Now, the problem with doing that, with buying a used laser, there's a number of problems with doing that, but most times the manufacturer will not support the used laser.
Really?
Yeah, and lasers need maintenance. I mean, lasers are a very high-tech piece of equipment.
And there's no independent laser support?
There's a little bit of it now happening, but, you know, the parts and everything, you want the parts coming from that manufacturer. You want that laser maintained. So a lot of times if you buy on the secondary market, you may have a problem getting that laser service. That's one of the problems that people don't understand when they buy a laser in the secondary market. But there are a lot of people that bought a laser that just didn't do nearly the amount of money they thought they would, and then they end up selling it. But it all comes back to one thing.
They sell it used?
They sell it used.
Because they didn't do the marketing.
They didn't understand marketing. They didn't do marketing. They never followed through on anything. They're busy working in their business all day. And now for the average doctor, it doesn't affect their lifestyle, what kind of home they live in, what kind of car they drive. You know, a laser payment is $1,200 a month. Well, just through walk-through traffic in the office, you should be able to see 10 patients a month for the laser.
Yeah, the guy's so busy.
Yeah, the laser just becomes kind of another piece of equipment, but it isn't the profit center. And what people originally looked at it was as a profit center. Well, it didn't turn out to be that because they never understood or applied marketing.
But it could be a great profit center.
It could be a great profit center, and that's exactly what I teach them, is it could be. But the number one reason why most people fail in this industry that I have found is they do not have what I call a marketing coordinator in their practice. They don't have that person. I ask them to take 20% of their time and devote it to marketing. And 20% of the time devoted to marketing, they can grow that business to any level they want to, because I did it. But they have to learn the fundamentals of marketing, the rules of marketing, the foundation. They have to understand that part of marketing, and they don't. So they go out and they spend money just like I did. They don't know why. They just go out and spend things, and they have no tracking. They just don't know what to do.
I'll tell you, that's what our consultants do. You know, another one of the things that separates our HMA consultants is that the consultants will do the execution. We're not just selling them information on how to do it. We're going to execute for them. Of course, they're going to need to work with the consultants. It's a team, but the consultants are trained in the execution of these 8 marketing steps of a marketing system that's put together. And that's a big selling point. You know, instead of bringing in an in-house marketing department, they can hire a consultant and pay them for steps of the system.
Right. Now, that's tough for a doctor to do, just so you know. Doctors don't like spending that kind of money. I mean, it's just, as a group, physicians are hard to deal with.
So do you think my consultants, they'd be better off going after other businesses besides doctors?
Well, they can certainly try to approach physicians, but
no. They just don't like spending the money.
They don't, and even my marketing programs and things, you know, that's why the laser companies and things provided to them free, because they're not going to spend the money on that.
Oh, I see.
And that's why I go back to foundational marketing. I have to teach them that marketing is the ultimate financial leverage. They have to understand, they look at marketing as an expense.
So when they get your free program and they call you or you're referred to someone and then you're charging these doctors money for your consulting.
Don't do that, just so you know. I never charge the doctor. It's always the laser company.
Oh, you only charge the laser company?
Only. I never have yet charged a physician anything.
I see. So you're only going to work with a physician who's bought the machine and the laser company pays you.
That's right.
That's smart.
Yep. That's the only way that I do business. And again, that goes back to, because we're talking about if I do a $5,000 program or something, well, if a person just spent $120,000, the laser company, it's easy for them to justify paying me $5,000 out of that kind of a purchase. Because I learned a long time ago, if I go to doctors and ask them for the money, no. So I don't even do that. I don't even work in that arena.
Fascinating. This has been a great story.
The Asian market really interests me. Asia, to me, is a market that's just like, oh, my God, there's so much potential there.
You know, the laser industry there?
It's really growing. It's growing leaps and bounds because of all the new products and things. And lasers are much more able to treat all skin types, where before you had to be very white to be treated by a laser. And now there are new lasers that can treat all colored skin and different things. So I just gave a seminar in Hong Kong just a few weeks ago. I've spoken in, Switzerland, England, Hong Kong, Vietnam, Thailand, and Japan.
And you're speaking on marketing?
Yes. Speaking on laser marketing only. Only lasers and only marketing and business building. And I really enjoy that market out there.
That may be something to develop.
Yeah, it may be.
But it sounds like you're going to be racking up more miles, flying all over the world.
Both of my girls are now out of college. My youngest just graduated last May, and she's working, and my oldest, you know, went to school in England. Yeah, I've done my duty.
You're done with kids, basically.
Well, you know, they're grown up now, and I was there for them, and I saw them, and I got to go to their thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I don't do any traveling at all. I got a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I make sure I'm there every night.
And you're there for them.
Oh, yeah.
And you will never regret that.
Nope. I look at it as like one of my greatest accomplishments.
I don't blame you, because I came real close to not seeing any of that with my girls. And running around and opening up laser centers for these investment guys.
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, and they were going to own my business. They were taking big pieces of it. And all of a sudden I said, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And I had to reinvent myself and take what I had learned and be able to open up my own business, my very, very niche business, and stick in that niche. And I've been in that niche now ever since.
That's the end of my interview with Jeff. I hope it's been helpful. There's a lot of lessons to be learned in this story, and I hope you'll use them in your consulting practice. Thanks for listening.